You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, we are back on Get Up, and before we start a new hour, hey, Timmy Legs, Indiana State is back on the basketball map. They beat Cincinnati in the NIT last night. 22 points from Robbie Avila, who has earned a variety of nicknames. So of these, do you prefer Milk Chamberlain, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, or Larry Nerd?
Without question, it's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Yes. Man, I got on that about a month ago. That made me laugh out loud the first time I saw that. How can you not love this story? And by the way, he's doing some work. He is working people.
Hey, a lot of people. Also, since he got all these nicknames, he just slimmed up a little bit from early in the season.
That's a good point, hey, RC.
Yeah,
you're right.
He finna turn into a zaddy out there for him. You gonna see it? Why he walking around campus different? Yeah, I see you. Yeah, not since Larry Bird.
You mean switching from Kareem Abdul-Jabbar to, like, you know?
Does Greeny know what a zaddy is, though? Does Greeny know what a zaddy is?
Did you say daddy or zaddy?
Okay, Dan doesn't know what a zaddy is either. So.
Oh, I do. No, I do.
He's not quite old enough yet.
Let's just start a new topic here. I've lost complete control of this. Here I am trying to have fun with a kid, and next thing
you talked about an erotic movie from 1972.
That's true.
It was a movie called Last Tango in Paris. We will explain why that came up. It was Marlon Brando. Anyway. As we continue, we're live at Get Up. We're live at the
Seat
Part. We're brought to you by Patron. Perfection starts with Patron. Perfection equals the crew we've got today. Dan, RC, and Kmart with all the football. But we begin with the hoops, because what a night this was. Tim Legler, the comeback of the night. One of the big comebacks of the year. Lakers in Milwaukee. No LeBron last night. And when Damian Lillard knocks down this shot in the fourth quarter, the Bucks have a 19-point lead.
Yeah, the second time in the game. First quarter, they jumped out to a big lead. They do it again in the fourth, but the Lakers weren't going away. They showed a lot of toughness, and they're the ones that made the winning plays late in this game that had to be made.
Anthony Davis, who played basically the whole night. Austin Reeves, who had a 29-point triple-double. They bring it all the way back. The game winds up tied. Final possession for Milwaukee, 2.5 seconds.
Great play design. First of all, he definitely got held by AD when he tries to make this cup. I don't know why Giannis tried to scoop that. Just catch it and shoot a little short bank shot with your hand on top of the basketball, and it probably goes in. You win the game.
No call, so we go the other way, actually. Final second, Austin Reeves.
Yeah, too deep. Almost banks it in, but just a little bit too deep to get the shot up that he wanted.
So we're going to overtime. 2 minutes and change in the OT. Spencer Dinwiddie, this is the Lakers' first lead of the whole game.
Sneaky acquisition for the Lakers under the radar, but he is going to pay huge dividends once they get to the play-in situation, which I think they'll be in.
So there's the great block from AD, but in the end, this play, great ball movement to Lillard.
Chaos play after the block. Bucks, nice job all the way around the horn. Lillard with a big corner three. It looks like the Bucks are in good shape once again.
It comes down to this. 3 seconds left in overtime. Lillard for the win.
One of the best defensive plays I've seen all year, because Anthony Davis had to stay with Giannis till the last second. If he leaves too early, it's a lob dunk game over. Instead, he timed it perfectly.
And then the second overtime belonged to Austin Reeves.
Yeah, great awareness right there on the catch. Sees there's no backline defense, drives baseline, and then the Bucks mess up this switch with the two guards. Austin Reeves steps into an open three.
Reeves had 29 points, 14 rebounds, 10 assists. Anthony Davis had 34 points and 23 rebounds in a night when he played 52 minutes and 51 seconds. So he was just shy of 53 minutes. That's the most he's played at any game all year long. And again, the first words you spoke to me this morning when I saw you were, not all regular season games mean the same. That one meant a lot.
It was a significant win for the Lakers. It's a statement win. And, like, I feel like sometimes we definitely are trying to figure out ways that we want to talk about the Lakers as if they're interesting or they're threatening. They looked like it last night without LeBron because of the way they managed the end of this game. And the fact that they dug out of a regular season game on the road without their best player twice, the resilience that it showed. A lot of teams, you're just mailing that in. Once you get down that big early in the game or you get that down that big in the fourth quarter, they didn't do it. They fought back, and then they put the ball in the hands of really role players on that team that made the difference, and the Bucks were not able to. And look, AD, as great as he can be offensively some nights, I really believe when the Lakers are at their best, it's because of what we're talking about him doing on the defensive end of the court. He is just a massive disruptor in the paint, and he did it repeatedly last night, including two of the biggest possessions of the game. He had his imprints all over it on that end of the floor.
He was spectacular last night. The Lakers were in this dogfight with all these other teams down there in the play-in neighborhood in the Western Conference. And then over on the other side, there are some questions about if you watch the show, you know I'm a believer in Milwaukee this year in the East, but there are questions, and they reared their head last night.
Well, look, they made a coaching change. Doc Rivers comes in, and they definitely have tightened up things defensively. They are a better defensive team now than they were at the start of the year when they had a lot of issues. But you saw some issues last night with their late-game management that surfaced that make you start to think again, is this going to be a problem? First of all, just the flow of the offense late with Lillard and Antetokounmpo. I don't necessarily think they've really hit their stride yet in understanding how they want to operate late in games. Then Giannis missed a couple of big free throws. They had mistakes defensively at critical times that led to wide open shots for the Lakers, basically with the game on the line. So there were some things late in that game, Greeny, that give you a little bit of concern. Even though the Bucks have significantly narrowed the gap with Boston, you see last night, I still think, look, Boston is clearly the heavy favorite to win the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, it was a really good night in the NBA last night. We'll have more from Legs as this hour continues. Meanwhile, let me get you back to the owners' meetings. The NFL, the end of Dak Prescott's deal is rapidly approaching. The Cowboys quarterback will be a free agent at the end of the coming season, and there's candidly nothing that the Cowboys can do about it. It means there are a lot of questions about Dak's last dance. And the owner, Jerry Jones, as only he can, address that yesterday.
But I'm very satisfied that we've had the rosters that we wanted to have over the last 3-4 years. So with that in mind, we've got to pay the fiddler for having those rosters. Dak wants to do any and everything he can on and off the field to help us win. We are where we are. We have our contract. We're locked and loaded for this year.
All right, and so look, Dan, why, again, we've talked about this a lot this morning. Everyone is focusing on this last dance in Big D. Dan, why are you shaking your head like that?
Well, they have one playoff win in the last 3 seasons, and their salary caps for Micah Parsons, CeeDee Lamb, and Dak Prescott were $82 million combined. This year, Dak's is 55. I don't understand how Jerry Jones sits there and says we're locked and loaded. No, you're not. You're locked. And in his words, he's very pleased with the rosters that he's had over the past couple of seasons. And rightfully so. I mean, they've had good rosters. They've just fallen short. And the pressure has always been high on Dak Prescott ever since that rookie season. It's never been higher. Dak Prescott took over for Tony Romo and immediately stepped into a situation where they're a playoff caliber football team. And the pressure was remarkably high. It has never been higher. Jerry Jones cannot make it more publicly clear for his quarterback and his head coach. If you guys don't go to the NFC title game and play really well, you'll no longer be Cowboys. My only pushback to it is this. I do not believe, and I have to be fair to Dak Prescott, that both he and Mike McCarthy are given everything needed to go win the Super Bowl this year. Other than expectation, I don't think they have been given the necessary support talent-wise on the roster right now to go win the Super Bowl.
So RC, are we looking at the end of this thing here? I mean, is this
Yes. Is
this really the last dance for Dak and the coach in Dallas?
Greeny, first of all, never disrespect Michael Jordan like that. Never refer to the last dance in the Dallas Cowboys at this stage of the Dallas Cowboys as if they could be a thing that we could join together. I'm very disappointed in you. And also, like, this is the end. Like, let me try to paint a more clear picture for people who don't necessarily get locked into contracts and footballs and quarterbacks and those sorts of things, right? Like when you're an organization, you can play the field at the quarterback position. You can have three of them on the roster sometimes, two of them on the roster sometimes. You can draft one this year. You can draft one that year. It's like a single man who's going to college at LSU, he could just live it up and date who he wants. But at some point, he's going to decide that he wants a wife, right? And the Bible says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. It's the same thing in football. He who finds a quarterback finds a good thing. And so when you get that quarterback and you lock into that marriage and that is your person, you are never going to sit at home and one day and tell your person, you can go be on The Bachelorette. I don't love you enough to lock you in. You ain't going to tell Stace, go on The Bachelorette. Dan ain't going to tell Tiff to go on The Bachelorette. I ain't going to be like Yonk, go on The Bachelorette, because we want them. Jerry Jones has said that next year we're going to let you go on The Bachelorette because I can do bad all by myself. And so when you look at this team, not only are we saying you have to go out and play a certain way, win a certain amount of games, get us to a certain point for us to keep you, we are also not going to give you the necessary tools to do so. We are essentially giving you a job, giving you a task that we are not equipping you to be able to do. So what does that say? We're going to get to the end of the season, and Dak Prescott is going to be somewhere else. Mike McCarthy is going to be back at home studying analytics for the next job. He's going to lie and wear pajamas to get. That's where we're headed.
Jammies.
So let's not in no way at any point, Greeny, you're not going to get me and Dan to do it on any Monday at any point in this season. Are we talking about Cowboys Super Bowl aspirations? We're not doing it, Greeny.
And well then I'm just going to have to bog Rex. Rex, you're my last hope. But here's the thing.
Yeah.
We've used a lot of movie titles this morning.
Oh, yes, we have, yes.
How about another one? There was a movie called He's Just Not That Into You, right?
Yeah, no.
Yes!
Should Dak
Good
be
movie.
Watching that right now? Is the owner just not that
Justin
into
Long.
Him? Is
Listen,
that
what's Jerry going Jones on here? Is that dude for years that you're in a situation. I wouldn't know, but that you're in a situationship with, and he's just like, yeah, you're great. No, you're great. No, you're great. But he keeps stringing you along. So I've heard this is how it goes. But I think he's never said to Dak, I love you. The same way we hear Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes and these other teams talk about their quarterback. I think this year, the only way I could see Dak back in a Cowboys uniform next year is if he were to win a Super Bowl. Because I don't think appearing in an NFC title game is enough. Because Jerry has said, now Dak, we've got a great team and Dak will take us as far as we can go. Mm-hmm. Well, what they don't have is a Super Bowl in like our lifetime, right? So I think that is part of the issue here. And I think I actually want to see Dak go elsewhere because you can only be told you're good enough, you're good but not great so many times. And I think he needs to have a Kirk Cousins experience. He needs to feel what it's like to be wanted, to be loved, to be courted. People don't know how to beg anymore. I think Dak needs to have that courtship.
Dan, final word.
I mean, the Bible verse that RC was referencing is Proverbs 18:22. There's also a Bible verse that says, you reap what you sow. Jerry Jones and the Cowboys have put themselves in this situation by their decisions. And here's the one of two things that are going to happen. Dak Prescott's going to play really well again. They're either going to have to pay him $65 million-plus and not have a Super Bowl for it, he's going to walk and they'll get absolutely nothing.
That's Wilder. Mm-hmm.
And that's where they stand. And that's why he says they have to pay the fiddler, which I don't think is the expression.
I think
it's the piper that you pay. The fiddler is on
Correct.
The roof, but that's a whole other topic for a whole other time. Let me get a short break as we go on here. We had a very interesting discussion about this earlier this morning, and I'm looking forward to getting back into it here. Caleb Williams, his situation in Chicago, the general manager talked to McAfee yesterday. You have to hear what he said. Plus, Mike Tomlin says Russell Wilson is the starter in Pittsburgh. But for how long? You need to hear from our former Steeler on that, and you will. We're getting up with you on ESPN. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more.
Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We are back on Get Up, and this has been the subject of so much conversation. We all expect that Caleb Williams will be the first pick in this draft by the Bears. Our own Robert Griffin III last week suggested that he might consider pulling an Eli, as it is called, and telling Chicago not to draft him. That subject came up with the Bears general manager Ryan Poles with McAfee and Company yesterday. Here's what he said.
It pisses me off a little bit, to be honest with you, because we were hired to break a cycle. The same thing when I was in Kansas City, Coach Reed, all of us were brought there to break a cycle, and we did. And no one talks about those days anymore. It's all about what they are right now. So I really believe we're about to break this cycle and get this city in a really good situation and win a lot of games. So the past is the past. Like, I don't worry about that at all. It's about where we're going.
So, Dan, I know you liked what he said. For those, a lot of people just joining us here, not see our conversation earlier. Go. Why are you on his side in this conversation?
Because we have no evidence that the Chicago Bears, and certainly this regime, can't develop quarterbacks. No one cares what happened 20 years ago with their quarterbacks. Ryan Poles and his staff weren't there. And so I continuously hear people say, well, you know, the Bears, they can't develop young quarterbacks. We have no evidence of that. What we know is when Ryan Poles got there, he had to rebuild this roster. He has done that. This is the best roster and situation a number one taken quarterback will walk into in the history of the NFL draft. No matter what quarterback goes to Chicago, this is the best place that a quarterback that has been drafted number one is going to walk into. He's got receivers and a good offensive line, a back. Shoot, he's got a defense that was the number one defense stat-wise in the NFL the last half of the season. And I constantly hear people say the best thing you can give a young quarterback is a run game. No, it's not. It's not the pressure of having to score 30 points a game. The best thing that you could give a young quarterback with his development is to play really good defense. And that's what the Bears did at the back half of last season. And so it's Caleb Williams or it's Jaden Daniels, whoever they take. They're going to walk into a place and not feel that pressure of having to go score a gajillion points and the chance to win the game. And I get tired of people saying, well, we can't trust them to develop the quarterback. Why? We've trusted them to build this awesome roster. We've trusted them to acquire two top 10 picks. Why can't we trust them to develop a quarterback in a situation that is ideal for development?
Yeah, I agree with you on many of the things you say. First and foremost, that I think Ryan Poles has done his job exceedingly well from the moment he got there. It also isn't exclusively his decision who the head coach is. And I would feel much better about the whole thing if I were Caleb Williams, if they gave Matt Eberflus a contract extension, or at least said, no matter what, you know, this year
that
is not about
nothing,
winning.
Greeny.
I guess they don't mean, look, I understand what happened in Carolina last year and all those sorts of things. But if the Bears' immediate history, it's not 20 years, it's a very short period of time in which they drafted Mitchell Trubisky and then fired John Fox after 1 year. And then they drafted Justin Fields and fired Matt Nagy after 1 year. And if they draft Caleb Williams and fire Matt Eberflus after 1 year, that unquestionably would concern me if I were in Caleb Williams' position. So I fully appreciate what you're saying. I don't think anything you're saying is wrong, but that's the part of it that would concern me, and I think that's what Robert is talking about. RC, get in. What do you think?
I think the hardest thing is we have to learn to separate history from the present. And a lot of times we get caught up in what organizations haven't been and what organizations haven't done, and we don't truly focus on what their current situation is. You know, we were saying all of these things about the Cincinnati Bengals organization, and then here comes Joe Burrow, and here comes Coach Taylor, and now you find a way to turn an entire organization around. We said the Detroit Lions were going to be the Detroit Lions for the foreseeable future, and then you get Dan Campbell as the head coach. You bring over Jared Goff, who was a guy who was jettisoned from the Los Angeles Rams, and that team becomes an NFC championship team. And so I think all of these things start to happen, and we're thinking about what these organizations were, not what these people are. And that's what we have to look at with the Chicago Bears. Now, the first thing is we don't ever know how these things are going to turn out. And it's actually not our job to trust anybody. It's the people within that building. It's going to be Caleb Williams feeling like he has a synergy with Shane Waldron, that he can get the football out to Keenan Allen, that he can turn around, hand it to DeAndre Swift, dump the football off when he needs to, win quickly to DJ Moore, that a defense with Tyreek Stevenson, a young corner, Jalen Johnson, a young corner, a Kyler Gordon at the slot position, a Kevin Byard at safety now, Montez Sweat, Edmonds at middle linebacker, is going to keep teams contained enough that gives him opportunities to win. It's about that building. And around that building, I feel like Ryan Poles is giving you the sort of confidence with that roster that you feel like you can win. And now, if Caleb Williams is the guy that you tab that is talented enough, has the leadership qualities that you want at the number one position, then he should have all the things around him to be great. And so I believe this is a position that's now set up for someone to have success. They just have to go out and execute it.
Well, I'm just going to push back a little bit. You don't get to just divorce yourself from history. I think because, yes, should Ryan Poles be judged based on what Ryan Poles does? 1,000%. But Ryan Poles is not operating within the vacuum of just the Ryan Poles years. He has an opportunity right now to do what his predecessor, Ryan Pace, did not do, which is to draft his own quarterback and to develop his own quarterback. That's all Ryan Poles has to worry about right now. But there's a reason, unfortunately, when we say same old Jets, when people talk about you brought up the Lions, Ryan. Well, when the Lions blew that lead to the 49ers, it was like, oh, here we go. The Lions can't, you know, the fan base cannot divorce itself from the history because they're viewing everything within the confines of how many times we don't get it right. So Ryan Poles has a perfect opportunity to change the narrative, but we don't get to just act the narrative and the way the organization, not just this regime, but the organization has conducted itself over several years.
Not sure why the Jets had to catch a stray there, but outside of that, Danny, I got 30 seconds. Go, quick.
First of all, development is dependent at the quarterback position, and development and production are different things. Justin Herbert developed as a quarterback, but they didn't produce, so his head coach got fired. Right. Cliff Kingsbury did not produce. He's now an offensive coordinator. He didn't develop Kyler Murray. So development and production are very different, and the Bears are in a situation where they can get the production needed to make sure everyone keeps their jobs while also developing the young quarterback. That's a rarity in the NFL, and we should be praising Ryan Poles for that, not taking shots at he shouldn't go there.
All right, well, we'll see. Let's take a break on that thought again. This is such an interesting topic, and there are many more, including Jaden Daniels. His pro day is just hours away. What questions need to be answered to be considered top of the class? Is he going two? Could he go one? We'll talk about him, plus the back end of the NBA's West is loaded with stars, but who do we trust the most in the playoffs? Tim Legler will answer that question, and we'll see if he can answer this one. And I must say, I love this question. Luka Doncic came into the league in 2018. Who is the only player who has scored more points than he has in that time? The answer is next.
Hembo's evil written all over this one.
The
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, we're back on Get Up. The trash talk between Legler and Hembo right now is just hilarious. Hembo says this is the biggest question he feels he's ever asked. You feel like Reggie Jackson?
I do. My third trip to the plate. 3 straight homers in the 77 World Series. I'm 2 for my last 2. About to go 3 for 3.
All right, let's try it. Here we go. So Luka Doncic has been in the league since 2018. Since that time, there's only one player in the league who has scored more points than he has. Can you name him?
I feel so confident in this, which is maybe making me scared. Okay? Because usually when I'm confident, I'm wrong. It has to be said. It has to be. This is total points. So it has to be. It's not scoring average.
Right.
It means you put up numbers, but you also play
right
all the time.
Mm-hmm.
No significant time missed to injury, which leads me to believe this is Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Oh, my goodness. That's right. It is. It is Giannis. It is Giannis. There were good guesses. So Kimberly and I were playing along over there before I saw the answer. We both guessed Jokic. He's 4th. The list is Giannis 1.
Curry in there?
Luka 2.
No.
Jason Tatum 3.
That was my second guess, actually, Tatum.
And then Jokic 4. That's it. You've broken him. Hembo has finally left the studio.
He submits.
Great news for the radio show and outside of that. All right, well done. Good job. That was very well played. All right, now let's run the floor. Let's go through some of the other NBA action. We talked about the Lakers' big win last night earlier. Let's talk about the Warriors. They blew out Miami. They got 28 from Klay Thompson. How encouraging a night was this for Golden State?
Well, anytime Klay Thompson finds his rhythm, it makes you believe there's always going to be hope with this team because of their style, because of the shooting prowess of their best two players. So Klay Thompson, he doesn't do it every night, but when he does, it gives the Warriors a legitimate shot on any given night.
Then let's talk about OKC. They beat New Orleans, closing the game on a 12-0 run. And they've had such a great year. Are they a legit threat to win the West?
The year they've had, it would be almost unfair. It would be disrespectful to say they're not a legitimate threat. They are, but there are a couple of question marks. One, they're young. They just don't have a lot of combined playoff experience, and their size is an issue. Their last two losses, or 2 of their last 3 losses, they got absolutely mauled on the glass by the Lakers and the Bucks. That is an Achilles for this team. But let's give them credit for the year they've had and say, yeah, they're a threat.
And then Dallas, easy win last night over Sacramento. Luka and Kyrie combining for 52 and 14. And I know you've been saying it for a while on this show. You find them very dangerous.
Yeah, this is the real threat, I think, in so far right now for me in the Western Conference to the Denver Nuggets. This is the best team Luka's had. And that's saying a lot because you know how great he has been in big moments. But now he seems to have found a perfect chemistry with Kyrie Irving. They've added some pieces to improve their depth. They've got athletes in the middle. They've got shooting. And right now, they've got a swagger about them. They're playing their best basketball at the right time.
All right. So we like where the Mavericks are. And so we show you these three, obviously, the trio that was together in Brooklyn for a time. And you got KD now in the Suns, and they've been very up and down. You got Kyrie. You just told us you really like them. Harden's Clippers, they had a great streak there. They've leveled off a little bit. They're all in the playoff picture. Assuming you like Dallas the most.
Yes.
Which one are you the most worried about? Which of these throw?
Clearly the Suns. They're just adrift at sea. They're lost right now.
So what does this mean? Like here's Kevin Durant. He handpicked another spot to go to. And again, look, the playoffs are what will tell the tale, and maybe they'll surprise us all. But right now, it does not look promising.
Well, and I think, listen, at some point, the hits are going to come at Kevin Durant, and they're going to be valid. Look, there's a difference between what kind of talent you are historically and what kind of career you've had. Like, the legacy question is an important one for guys on this level. And when you look at what has happened since Golden State, these are valid question marks, because this team, with that level of talent at the top of this roster, this is a team that every night, even if they didn't become great defensively, if they were just average defensively, they should be so good offensively, they can make up for that. And they should be in the mix at the top of the Western Conference. And the fact that they're having these losses that are this ugly and this bad and this concerning at this time of the year, massive concern right now for the Phoenix Suns.
So people always look at a team like that, though, that has him and has Devin Booker and has Bradley Beal, assuming that he's healthy, and just say, well, they can just turn on a switch. They can just, you know, flick a light switch, and they can all of a sudden go out and score 130 points in a playoff game, and they become dangerous. Can they do that?
Sometimes that circuit breaker's tripped, okay? So sometimes you got to go out to the garage, and you got to check what circuit breaker tripped, because that light's not coming on right now. And this is just something, you can't, I can't personally forget right now, in the short term, that loss to Milwaukee. That was a team that didn't want to play basketball that day. They weren't interested in competing, and Milwaukee didn't have Giannis. And then you follow it up with a loss to the Spurs. Do you know that he took Victor Wembanyama off the San Antonio Spurs? They're breaking the record for fewest wins in the NBA. They would easily. That's what you looked at the other night. They didn't have Victor Wembanyama. They're not even trying to win this late in the year. And they still beat the Suns, who had everybody playing. You can't have a worse loss than that. So just the fact that they're having these right now, with the importance of these games to trying to find your rhythm, yeah, the Suns have big issues, Greeny.
And there will be a lot of questions about the star in the middle of it all. Okay, more on the basketball as we go. By the way, a reminder that ESPN Bet is the official sportsbook of ESPN and the only place to find exclusive offers with your favorite ESPN personalities and shows. New users get $100 in bonus bets after making any sportsbook bet. Download today. What a play. Legler, come over here. I want you to be a part of the QB Quick Reads with Dan Orlovsky, because your team is right in the middle of all of it. Dan, let's start with Drake May. Tell us about the biggest questions that are facing the big quarterbacks in this draft. Start with May.
Yeah, has he fixed his feet, Greeny? You know, this young man is unbelievably physically talented, but his feet force way too many misses. No quarterback that's going to be taken in the first round underthrew the deep ball more than Drake May. Bad feet equal bad anticipation. Now, if he's corrected that and worked on it, or at least got on that journey, he's got a chance to be a really high-end player in the NFL. His pro day is tomorrow. If I was going to that would be the one thing that I would be focused on paying attention to. For Michael Penix, what an incredible two-year run throwing the football. I mean, he is going to put on a show at his pro day when it comes to his ball placement. The big thing is going to be the medicals. How comfortable are teams when it comes to his injury history, both to his lower half and to his throwing shoulder? If you just take the ability to throw the football and the talent on the tape that he has shown, you sit there and go, man, this young man is a lock first rounder, but it's going to be about how comfortable you are when it comes to where he stands medically. Jaden Daniels. I'm as big a fan of this guy as anybody going right now. I have said this. As talented as Caleb is, I would take him number one in the draft. I think it's going to be paramount today, outside of how impressive he's going to be throwing the football. What does he look like stature-wise? He's listed at 6'4", 210 pounds. That would be in the Jordan Love, Joe Burrow frame. But I want to see how teams walk away, specifically at the top of the draft, in the comfort and his ability to take some of those shots.
Well, I want to focus on him for two reasons. One, his pro day is today. It's coming up, so you'll be able to watch a lot of that coverage here on ESPN. The other is we have Commander Tim with us in the studio, lifelong fan.
Run to the podium, Legler. Run to the podium.
And take Jaden Daniels. Well, so show him tape. Give him reason to be excited. Show us some tape on Jaden Daniels and tell everyone why you think he should be, at worst, the second pick in this
game. Calm my nerves, Dan. Calm my nerves.
Legs, the word is right. It's the right place with the football, with the right type of throw, and at the right time on a consistent basis. And it's so clinical to watch him constantly repeat that process. Okay, there's two safeties at the ball getting snapped by Auburn defensively. They're going to spin to one safety, so he diagnoses the coverage. Now, the only place to throw this football is that slot receiver. He can't throw him up the numbers because that corner's playing in between. He can't throw him across the middle field because that safety's got to place this ball right over the top of those linebackers to that hash. Right place, right time, right type of throw. Beautiful by Jaden Daniels. A little bit later, Mississippi State, he's going to get press man coverage. He's got four verticals, but a stop at the bottom of our screen at 15 yards, okay? Because the coverage, man-to-man, safety in the middle field, the only place to throw the ball is the bottom of our screen. I got to throw it on time because it's man. I got to throw it with the right anticipation and bring that receiver back down where he came from, bring him back down his stem with the type of throw that allows him to catch it, and they'll go and make something happen with it. There's this clinical consistency, this tactical consistency with Jaden Daniels' game. I love him. I think he's fantastic as a player. I've said this. I think he reminds me a lot of Joe Burrow coming out of college, and his throwing motion reminds me a lot of C.J. Stroud's coming out last year.
And of course, he comes from the same college as Joe Burrow did. Started at Arizona State, but then went to LSU. So, R.C., you obviously know him as well as anybody. And I think people who didn't see him play regularly are going to learn about him. Sometimes I think we make an assumption. A player is as dynamic athletically as he is, we assume he's a running quarterback. Mm-hmm. The truth is, he was better from the pocket this year than any of the other quarterbacks in this draft, R.C., and you saw every snap of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was – probably about 3 weeks ago, I went upstairs. I'm at LSU right now doing the show because I'll be at the pro day. But I went to the offensive coaching room, and they had a ton of plays that were on the board. And they were taking me through what the play call meant, like what verbiage was for what position, what was the formation, and then who this was talking to the line, and this was going to be the RPO check or the PRO check the way they had it. And it was so complex. And then they talked about the way that Jaden diagnosed and dissected things from the quarterback position, and it was absolutely phenomenal. First off, what Dan does, I think we take it for granted sometimes in simplifying what's extremely difficult. For Jaden to process the way that he is, put the football on the right person in the right position, I think was unlike anyone else did in college football last year. But we do get wrapped up in the 250 yards rushing against Florida. We do get wrapped up in what he was able to do with his legs against Alabama. But here is what you have to accept that as, is if things break down, he can be absolutely explosive and dynamic with his legs, but he doesn't need them to break down. He doesn't have to break them down on purpose. That if everything plays the way that the coaches draw it up, he can make the simple play. And I think that's what we've seen from some of the best young quarterbacks in the game. And the two names he mentioned, Joe Burrow and C.J. Stroud, can't do the extra things that Jaden can do, but we've seen some of those things from him in the pocket.
I think it's reasonable to say that his frame is the only thing that causes people concern. If he were built a little more sturdily, I think we'd be talking about him as the number one player in this draft. But that is something that is of concern.
You feel good?
Much better. The law firm of Orlovsky, Clark and Orlovsky has convinced me that this is the guy. Like, I'm going to sleep a lot better tonight. But when you talk about 6'4", 210, I was 6'4", 215 when I came into the NBA, and all I had to do was shoot threes. Occasionally got mauled by the Knicks or the Pacers. But I'm just wondering, how does 210 hold up, you know, when you're taking hits by some of these linemen, man, moving at that speed? Yeah. That's been the concern, but you guys just really quelled my fears.
Let me answer that a little bit, Legs. I think, and RC could speak to this a little bit too, the difference or one of the main things differently, and you know this going from college NBA, college to the NFL, is like you focus on only football. That's all you focus on. And the ability to add weight and strength train and what's ideal for your body goes to the next level. Two, the rules are set up to make sure that quarterbacks don't get killed now physically. And this is coming off of a season where a lot of guys missed games. I think, like, because of the new rules and guys don't take shots like they used to, he's also 6'4", 210. He's not 6'1", 190. You know, I do think his frame is much more structured than people are giving it credit.
And Greeny, real quick, you mentioned that he went to ASU. He signed in the same class as my son. And then obviously he transferred to LSU. I've watched this young man put in work to be great. And he spoke about this when we sat with him the day after he won the Heisman on the pivot, that last year he basically trained like a pro. He said every time he had a break from school, he was with CJ, he was with Bryce, he worked on eating, he was in the weight room. And so he's shown the ability to put in the necessary requirements to gain the weight, to keep himself healthy. And some of those hits we saw him take in college, he will not take those in the pros.
Yeah, very quickly, let me just get Kmart in here. What is your sense of it? We all think Caleb is going to go number one, and then it gets interesting.
It does. I at this point, I'm not sure. But what I find fascinating is Adam Peters, a guy who came from San Francisco, now the GM of the Commanders, the 49ers, who took a Trey Lance. You have Cliff Kingsbury in Washington, a guy who came with Kyler Murray. It'll be fascinating because I can tell you, within front offices, there is always some people who like this guy better, that some people like that guy better. Same thing happened in San Francisco. So I am fascinated to see. I'm excited to cover the Commanders.
For what it's worth.
Because you just don't know who actually will win out here.
It is kind of a shame. The most exciting time of the year is the draft for Commanders fans.
It'll change.
That's
it'll
been
change.
A problem here.
It'll
in
change
recent
now.
Memory.
Don't worry.
Like, I know this. Nobody's more emotionally invested than I am. I will be there, so don't worry about it.
Matt Miller, by the way, has a new mock draft out right now, and he has Jaden Daniels going to Washington, and then Drake May going three. All right, I'm up against the clock. Got to take a break. We'll come back much more as we go. Mike Tomlin says Russell Wilson is the starter in Pittsburgh. The question is how long? The answer is next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Back on Get Up. And, of course, there is no more interesting situation than the one they have in the quarterback room in Pittsburgh. All new with Russell Wilson signed and then Justin Fields acquired via trade. Mike Tomlin has made it clear that Russell Wilson is in pole position to be the starter. But the question is for how long? Everyone wants to hear from you, Ryan Clark, on this. RC, how do you foresee the quarterback situation playing itself out in Pittsburgh?
Justin Fields becomes the starter of this team before season's end. But I do believe Russell Wilson will start the season as the starter. It is so hard to unseat a starter or someone who they say is in pole position before the season begins without a real, true quarterback competition, and I just don't necessarily think that's what it's going to be, or you're going to be able to evaluate it enough where Justin Fields steals it from Russell Wilson. But I do believe as the season progresses, even if Russell Wilson is playing good football, that the Pittsburgh Steelers will be searching for the ceiling, and a ceiling that's higher in what Justin Fields can do.
Dan?
Yeah, see, here's my concern with that. I don't think Justin Fields can become the starting quarterback unless he starts the season as the starting quarterback.
Oh, wow.
My thing is this, RC. I don't see, if Russell Wilson is the starter, Pittsburgh struggling. They were 10-7 last year, and they had me playing quarterback. You know, so it's like, Russell Wilson's going to play good football. Solid football. This team's going to have the chance to win every game. Likely continue to play winning football, and so you're going to be sitting there going, well, what's the reason to break things that aren't broken? and or try to fix things that aren't broken, excuse me. And so how does Justin Fields get on the field? And I, that's why I sit here and I say, I think for Justin Fields to be the guy, to be the starter, I think he's got to go win the job. And I, that's my big if in this whole situation. Is it really going to be somewhat of an open competition? Or is, in Mike Tomlin's words, is he going to have the opportunity to display his talents in the preseason with some of the games and or controlled scrimmages and practices? Because I believe this, if it is somewhat open, Justin Fields is the guy. I'd be shocked if he's not. I just don't know if that's going to truly be the case in Pittsburgh.
How do you see it, Kmart?
I don't, when we use the word controversy, I don't think that's accurate. I think, here's my thing. If Chicago had told the Steelers during the combine, hey, man, you can get Justin for a six. Is Russ on this roster?
That's my question. Yep.
So that's how I look at this, where I think Justin Fields was a guy that they were looking at from jump. Russ is here. Russ right now is the starter. But I think based on the contracts that they have, you have the potential for a future with Justin, whereas I don't think you have a future with Russell. And I think it behooves the Steelers to get Justin on the field this season to see if he can be the future. And that's why I think at some point, I think it'll be week four. I actually think they'll give him the bulk of the season. And that's no shade to Russell, because I think he will come in and be better than what they've had. But in this division, the Steelers are operating a little bit differently than we've used to seeing. They're being aggressive. They're making moves. They're making trades. And that's something we haven't seen for a while. And I think this offense, after what we saw last year, these guys want to put up points.
Well, to your point about controversy, here's the degree to which it almost can't help but be one. Both these guys have everything in the world at stake, RC, right? I mean,
yes.
Russell Wilson is basically playing for his career. Justin Fields, these quarterbacks are all dying to get to their second contract. Yeah. If he just goes through another season, doesn't play at all, his second contract, I don't even know what it's going to be.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
While everyone else can be happy with the – I mean, these two guys are both going to desperately want to be on the field.
Yeah, this is to me a true quarterback competition, at least in both of these two players' mind and their mindsets, especially headed into the offseason and OTAs, headed into training camp. This is going to be one of the most competitive quarterback rooms in football. And that's why when people try to sell me go learn from under Russell Wilson, Justin Fields ain't trying to go learn under Russell Wilson. Justin Fields is walking into this building saying, I'm better than Russell Wilson at this point of my career. And here is going to be what the Pittsburgh Steelers have to weigh. Arthur Smith, Mike Tomlin, General Manager Omar Khan. What is the floor? If you're going throughout practices and training camps in the offseason and you feel like, you know what, both of these guys' floor is about the same. At the bottom of where they both play, we can be a team that wins a certain amount of games. Then you go with Justin Fields because the ceiling is much higher. What you can get for the future is much higher. And that's the way that this should be evaluated.
Yeah, the ceiling
is
the roof.
The great MJ said it.
Dan, final word.
Yeah, I think if Justin Fields is given the real opportunity to be the starting quarterback in Pittsburgh, he'll be the starting quarterback in Pittsburgh. And then I think the next question becomes how quickly they pick up his fifth-year option.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That piece of this, I think, is an incredibly interesting one to watch. Awesome all day today, guys. And First Take is coming up next, and they'll be just as awesome. Was last night a statement win for the Lakers? Will there be a quarterback controversy in Pittsburgh? It's a Mad Dog Wednesday. Don't miss it. Starts top of the hour right here on ESPN.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Women's Sweet 16, Friday, ESPN and the ESPN app. Oregon State, Notre Dame, Indiana taking on South Carolina. Then you'll see NC State and Stanford, Gonzaga, Texas, all the action on ESPN and the ESPN app to start your weekend. Meanwhile, RC, Dan, you guys explain to everybody just how tall this is. This is Tavion McCarthy of Mercer jumping 44 inches.
Yeah.
How
that's not, you want me to explain that?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's basically just jumping over children. Right? Like, if you were walking your children, if your children were walking past him, dude could just jump straight in the air and be over every second grader in the world. Like,
what
this
was your
is
height?
Absolutely
what was your jump?
Explosive.
RC, what
I
was your
34?
34? How about you, Dan?
I was 34.
Dan?
26.
26?
I jumped higher than Dan.
Like a cool 11.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. All right, good fun today. Thanks, everybody. First Take starts now.